Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, January the 16th, the morning after the Michigan primary, where Mitt Romney came out on top with a rather decisive win over his closest rival, John McCain. Romney grew up in Michigan. His father was governor of Michigan. It was once considered to be a cakewalk for him to win Michigan, but that was before he lost to Mike Huckabee in Iowa and lost to John McCain in New Hampshire. Michigan was considered a must-win state for Romney, and he had pulled some resources from other states down the road to concentrate on Michigan. And you could tell in his victory speech last night that he was relieved.
Can you imagine what it's like knowing that I've been here standing next to my dad when he accepted the governorship? And, I've seen him win, and I saw him win three times in Michigan, of course, and I saw my mom not successful in her race. I've seen winning and losing myself. I like winning better. And
We'll talk about Mitt Romney's winning in Michigan and the upcoming votes in Nevada and South Carolina, where the race for president goes from here. And we will wonder, like the New York Times wondered this morning, can anyone bring the Republicans together? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org, talk at WPR.org. Our guest this hour is John Leo, senior fellow for the Manhattan Institute, editor of MindingTheCampus.com, and a former syndicated columnist. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
What's your reaction to Romney's win yesterday?
Well, it was a surprise according to the polls. The polls kept showing him, the recent polls, showing him winning by a point or two, and the margin was much bigger than that. So once again, there's consternation about polling. Mm-hmm. Not as great as New Hampshire, but it's troubling for people who put such reliance in polls.
Yeah, that's right. Romney tallied 36% of the vote. McCain, 19, or no, those are delegates. I'm sorry. I'm looking for percentages. I was looking at the delegates, but it was a rather decisive win, 39% to 30%.
That's
think,
right.
Yeah. Here's John McCain's reaction to Romney's win.
I congratulate Governor Romney on his victory tonight. He and his campaign worked hard and effectively to make sure that Michigan voters welcome their native son with their support. Michigan voters were good to the native son, and I understand that and support their decision. You've won the round and earned your celebration tonight, and I salute Governor Romney and his team and offer my genuine good wishes for the night.
Yeah, and after all, Mitt Romney is the native son, but McCain was really close to him in the polls and fresh off of his New Hampshire victory. What does this tell you about John McCain's future?
Well, first, I just wanted to say that that Romney was brilliant in using the native son campaign. I mean, when he introduced the press to his first grade teacher, I thought he's really going to win now. If you have your first grade teacher 53 years later endorsing you, and the other thing was he hammered away at Michigan as a victim of economic downturn, talking about a one-state recession, really hit it home as if mm-hmm. Michigan had been singled out by the nation and Washington for fall. McCain, I think probably will win a couple of states. I just don't think the Republicans are going to unite around McCain. I think the free speech issue, the McCain-Feingold thing, is a major flaw for him because it brings together people who oppose the reform in itself and the greater group of those who oppose the undermining of the First Amendment. I mean, you have an enormous attack on free speech in McCain-Feingold. And Feingold is very popular in Wisconsin, but he's not with Republicans, so I think that's going to hurt him a lot.
Yeah.
And the other thing is immigration. A huge percentage of the Republican Party is enraged at the inability of Bush and the Democrats to do anything about the tide of illegals. I mean, I saw a report recently that in Arizona alone, 500,000 people were picked up last year. If that figure is anywhere near accurate, it means that we've given up on patrolling the border, and that's a big sin in the eyes of Republicans. Yeah. I don't think McCain can overcome that.
Yeah. Why do you think he overcame it in New Hampshire?
Well, I think the trouble is that when you have a whole host of candidates that are flawed in some way, one of them has to win each time. Mm-hmm. In fact, Michael Barone is predicting 5 straight primaries in which different people win. I think his reasonableness and moderation appeal to in the Northeast, but I'm not sure it's going to work in South Carolina, where people want more red meat about social issues.
Our guest is John Leo, former syndicated columnist, now with the Manhattan Institute, talking with us about the Michigan primary results from last night and figuring out whether there will be a front runner anytime soon in the GOP race for president, and why the Republicans are apparently not uniting around one single candidate yet, and not as excited as the Democrats are about a particular candidate or two. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. What do you think? What are the strengths and weaknesses of the candidates on the Republican side of the ticket? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, January the 16th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, the Internet has changed the process of growing up and created a digital divide between children, their parents, and teachers, according to Ben's guest after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking politics this hour and talking about the race for president on the GOP side in particular, focusing in on the results of the Michigan primary yesterday, where Mitt Romney won with 39% of the vote, followed by John McCain with 30%, then Mike Huckabee in third place with 16% of the vote in Michigan. Here is Mike Huckabee reacting to his showing from South Carolina.
I congratulate Mitt Romney. He won a great race. He worked hard. He, of course, has a great base there. But our hats are off to him for his victory there tonight. So it looks like that I won Iowa. John McCain won New Hampshire. Mitt Romney won Michigan. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to win South Carolina.
Our guest is John Leo, senior fellow for the Manhattan Institute, editor of MindingTheCampus.com, former syndicated columnist. And what about that, John Leo? Will Mike Huckabee win South Carolina?
I doubt it. I think that Huckabee has amazing strengths that people did not appreciate 2 or 3 months ago. But I think he's flawed by two things: the incessant talk about religion, which now makes the nation nervous, and being a creationist. I think without those two hallmarks of his, he would probably be the dominant candidate, because he's an amazingly glib, a wonderful public speaker, knows how to make contact with crowds. But I think people will balk at the idea of a creationist in the White House.
Really, even with the strong evangelical base that he might have in South Carolina.
Well, he might do well there. I think a lot of people, and even in South Carolina, are going to think about the future and what happens if they, if we nominate him.
Yeah. The rest of the GOP field in Michigan yesterday: Ron Paul 6%, Fred Thompson 4%, Giuliani 3%, Duncan Hunter 0%. So, Ron Paul, Thompson, Giuliani, you want to talk about any of those also-rans?
Sure. The Thompson candidacy has amazed everybody, because He was supposed to be the savior, coming in representing a rehashed or reformed Reaganism and sweep the field. But he managed to convince a lot of people that he was rather inert and lazy, which is not the way to do that. Giuliani was an amazing mayor here in New York, where I'm talking to you from. He saved the city. I mean, he without him, the middle class was ready to bolt in 1992 when he took office. And he did save the city, and he reformed welfare. It had more to do with welfare reform than anyone else. The magazine that of the institute I work for, the Manhattan Institute, City Journal, had a long piece on Giuliani the conservative, because they tend to like him because he adapted all of the Manhattan Institute ideas. The downside, though, is that he's a fairly snarky candidate who really went through his two terms as mayor with no allies at all. I mean, he just bulldozed ahead. And that's a bad precedent for a presidential candidate, because that's one of the flaws that, that the second Bush has had, that he made no allies, sought no compromise. So I think Giuliani would, first of all, being a big city mayor, does not automatically recommend you to the rest of the city, the rest of the country. And secondly, when people look at the personal flaws, the fact that he can't even talk to his own children, would weigh against him. I think he'll do well in Florida, but I think it's sorry to say this, but I think his only chance to becoming president is another massive attack by Al Qaeda.
Let me get some callers in on this. Liz in Milwaukee. Hi, Liz.
Hi. He actually just answered the question that I had about Giuliani, because before all of the primaries, you saw, you know, him raising the largest amount of funds and, you know, really seemed like the person that people were going to be pulling for in the Democrat or in the Republican race. And now it seems like nobody really voting for him.
Well,
at this point,
you know, he's not John Leo running real aggressive campaigns in any of these early states. He was waiting until Florida, right?
Well, I think he realized that he'd be in the 6 or 7% range in the other states. Mm. The performance on 9/11 was astonishing. I think it was even better than anything Churchill did. And we sat in front of our TVs and watched while Bush fumbled around. That the real president the next day was Giuliani, and that generated enormous support around the country. I was astonished to read about how they loved him in the Deep South, you know, which is not famous for loving New York City mayors. But I think to some extent that's been squandered, the hidden marriage of his new wife, the story that the second wife, Donna Hanover, a TV reporter, learned about her husband leaving her by watching a TV show. I don't know if that's true. She might be embroidering that, but it's not the kind of story that generates much affection.
Yeah. And he was leading all those national polls for a long, long time, but that that national lead is or has dried up, hasn't it?
I think that's right. Yeah, the other thing about Giuliani that affects a lot of the candidates, is like Mitt Romney, is that his support for cultural issues on the left. I mean, he did have many markers on the right too. He took money away from the Brooklyn Museum when they had that blasphemous painting of the Virgin Mary covered with elephant dung and porn pictures cut out of magazines. I mean, that really did marshal a conservative constituency in New York. But I think the other things too, the marching and the gay rights parade and all, which is what you have to do in New York. I mean, Romney had to be a liberal to carry Massachusetts, and Giuliani had to make the liberal steps to become mayor of New York. So it raises the issue of whether you can change from your local image to a national image. And I think the change has just been a little too abrupt for both Romney and Giuliani.
Now we go to Howard in Milwaukee. Hi, Howard.
Good morning. One quick observation, one quick question. First of all, I think this is great that this is a real horse race. You know, four different primaries, four different winners. I think that's great. My question is I know that Senator McCain is not very popular with certain members of the Republican Party, including evangelical Christians. And my question is, when it comes right down to it, if McCain gets the nomination, do you think the evangelical Christian vote would vote for him anyway just because he's a Republican nominee, or do you think they would actually stay away and not vote? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
I think they'll vote for him. I think the main issue that will bring together the different factions of the Republican Party is the Supreme Court. And once they start strumming that banjo, that the next president, should it be a Democrat, will probably name two or even three members of the Supreme Court. And I think that terrifies Republicans, and I think it will, can be used to unify them.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Howard. Well, do you think it's great? He said four different primaries, I guess. So Romney did win the Wyoming caucuses, too, but that there have been three major states holding contests and three different winners?
Right. I think that reflects the state of the party, that there is no consensus. If you analyzed the Republican mind, you would say it would probably say that each of the candidates has a slice of what we need. Huckabee has the evangelical base and the rhetorical power, and Giuliani has the courage and ability to stand up to our enemies. And everybody has a piece, but Romney is a terrific executive. I think no one doubts that, and is the requisite outsider that Republicans always look for. But there's a veto on each one. Everybody seems to have been flawed in some way, and I at this point I can't imagine who the party is going to pick.
Yeah.
There's no one waiting in the wings, at least that I can perceive. Normally, if this happens, an outsider is dragged in, but who the outsider might be that could command support on all these wings of the Republican Party, I don't know.
What's the veto on Romney? Is his flip-flopping?
Well, the flip-flopping and the fact that that he made some pretty vehement pro-choice statements in his time. So I think that is remembered. You know, it isn't just gay rights and abortion that animates the social right. It's their shorthand for a whole bunch of issues that bother everybody. The deterioration of the schools, the whole march led by the elites to the social left. The universities are a mess too. I mean, you can hardly get a course in the major universities that isn't tainted by gender and queer theory. It's been really taken over. These are all hidden behind those two issues. I think that, and it isn't just evangelicals. There are social conservatives, myself included, who feel that that a lot is at stake in resisting the spread of the cultural left.
Our guest is John Leo, senior fellow for the Manhattan Institute, editor of MindingTheCampus.com, former syndicated columnist, talking with us about the race for president on the GOP ticket and focusing in some on the results of the Michigan primary yesterday, where Mitt Romney came out on top. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:30 or 6:36 on this Wednesday, January the 16th. We're talking about the race for the Republican Party nomination for president during this hour, focusing in some on the results of the Michigan primary yesterday, where Mitt Romney won with 39% of the vote over his closest rival, John McCain, who tallied 30% of the vote. It was a wider margin of victory than originally predicted by the polls. They were pretty much neck and neck, McCain and Romney, leading up into the Michigan primary. Michigan was considered a must-win for Romney. It was his home state, after all. His father served as governor there. But he managed to pull it off, and now he says it's on to Nevada and South Carolina. We're wondering what questions you have about the race for president on the Republican side. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Do you support one of the Republican candidates Why is that? We are wondering, as many analysts are wondering this morning, if the Republican Party is adrift. That's one news analysis piece in the New York Times this morning. Since there is no clear candidate to turn to counter an energized Democratic Party, now three different candidates winning the first three major contests in the nomination race, with Mike Huckabee winning Iowa, McCain winning New Hampshire, and Romney winning Michigan. Where does this race go from here? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is John Leo, senior fellow for the Manhattan Institute, editor of MindingTheCampus.com, a former syndicated columnist. And John Leo, you want to summarize for us where you think this race goes from here?
Well, I think it's going to remain a mess for the foreseeable future. I think all of the candidates have what I see as a fatal flaw, and I think each one of them can enrage a part of the conservative alliance or deteriorating conservative alliance, and I don't see how that ends. I think that, well, to take Giuliani again, I mean, he should be able to attract conservative support because of his various stances in New York, including cutting the murder rate from 2,000 a year down to 500 a year. 1,500 people a year keep living because of his reforms of the police. I mean, this Comstat computerized system has been aped all around the country, and Giuliani and Bratton did that. And the welfare reform has been astonishing. We had 1.3 million on welfare in New York City. Think of that, 1.3 million on welfare, and now it's down to about 400,000. Now, a lot of those people have jobs because they were cut off the welfare rolls and helped to find jobs when the economy was booming. So it really worked. You would think that he would have conservative support, but his personal stances and his stances on abortion and gay rights, he's perceived to be in favor of gay marriage. He's not. But that's his flaw. And I think each of them has something that irritates someone else. The immigration thing, I think, is a fatal flaw for McCain. I think since the press and the pundits and the elites are all more or less in favor or tolerate massive illegal immigration, they have no idea how the rest of the country feels about this. And the Republicans of every stripe are just enraged by it, simply because of open borders, but the effect it has on will have when the economy turns down. You have another and the future, is there going to be another 12 or 15 or 20 million illegals here next time we look at it?
You know, we talked about just about every one of the Republican candidates except Ron Paul, and a caller called in to say, what about Ron Paul?
Well, I mean, he has a consistent libertarian message. Unfortunately, he's been plagued in the last couple of weeks by charges that he or his supporters have been very kind to the American Nazi Party. And I don't know how to judge that, but his site does have some signs of links to undesirable locals.
Yeah. That issue's come up on some of our programs. He's had newsletters that have gone out also that
right.
had some bigoted comments on him, but he apologized for that, said they weren't his views. They were, his supporters and or writers for this newsletter wrote this, but he disavowed it. And you think that still is going to hurt him?
Well, I think it will. I think that disavowals that come after massive publicity are less effective than those that come before it. And I think he should have spoken out before that.
Let's go to the phones again. Margaret in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. A few minutes ago, John Leo said that the McCain-Feingold bill was an assault on the First Amendment, and I take issue with that. The McCain-Feingold campaign reform bill is about restoring desperately needed integrity to the political process.
Yeah. And you were commenting, though, John Leo, that you said most Republicans really don't support McCain because of that.
Well, that's one of the factors. I guess I disagree with your caller. Mm-hmm. The law calls for, let me see if I can get this straight, that you cannot make a statement of any kind involving a candidate for for 60 days before a general election and 30 days before a primary, well, that's exactly the time when people are most energized to speak their message. And every single interest group, from the ACLU to the pro-life lobby, are outraged by this because it shuts them up just when they want to have an effect. And I think that's wrong. I think that undermines the First Amendment in a way no law in my lifetime ever has. And I'm just astonished that the Supreme Court hasn't gotten around to knocking that law down.
Right. Don't want to necessarily turn the discussion into the McCain-Feingold bill, but Margaret, are you a supporter of McCain's?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that the fact that he is able to work effectively with people from across party lines is a strength that we need in a president.
Yeah.
We've had the last 8 years that are so polarized and divided. It's treating people from, you know, Republicans and Democrats are like mortal enemies, and we're not. We're all Americans.
Yeah.
What
about that, John Leo? Don't
well, I like him too. He's the only major candidate who told me he reads my column every week. How can I dislike him? No, I think his moderation is very attractive to me. But I think I was just trying to talk in terms of whether he will appeal to the massive Republicans, and I think there's an animus to him that goes way beyond what his stances are that I haven't quite figured out. He never gets credit, by the way, for being a good soldier after he was mauled by Bush in South Carolina in 2000. He never attacked Bush and played the good soldier and posed with him and supported the bills and all that, which I think within limits is a very attractive trait for a team player.
Mm-hmm.
But he irritates a lot of people, and I don't know what it is. He's supposed to be an easily enraged person. He does have a temper. But as I say, he's a moderate, and he could appeal to all factions. Maybe he'll make it. I don't know.
Next, we go to Tim in Sparta. Hi, Tim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, just on that last caller, I agree with your guest on McCain-Feingold. And also, all I would just add is the McCain-Kennedy bill, too. I think was a disaster, and probably his biggest disaster, which is going to hurt him the most, is his stance on illegal immigration. But I'm a big supporter of Mike Huckabee. I like him a lot. And I'm kind of a political junkie. From the very beginning, I've been watching all the debates, and every single debate I feel that from the very beginning that Huckabee has come out and has pretty much slam dunked the debates. I just wanted to add that, the guest that keeps saying that each candidate has a fatal flaw. And I just wanted to add that I also believe that when you look on the Democratic side, you can say that Barack Obama, with his lack of experience and being a freshman senator, has a fatal flaw. And also Hillary Clinton, you really need not say anything more. She's a fatal flaw in herself. You know, the Clinton, just the name Clinton. There you go. That was my comment.
Your reaction, John Leo?
Well, I'm just reacting to a person who agrees with me. I do think they all have a major flaw, and somewhere one of them is going to have to convince the electorate, or at least the Republican Party, that it's worth nominating him to that office. I can't see, as I said before, how it plays out.
Yeah.
Huckabee would be a terrific candidate if, except for the creationism and the overweening emphasis on religion. I mean, stopping the campaign to preach in churches. I'm in favor of religion, but I don't think that sends the right message right now.
Our guest is John Leo, senior fellow for the Manhattan Institute, editor of MindingTheCampus.com, former syndicated columnist, talking about the primary in Michigan yesterday, where Mitt Romney came out the victor. And we're talking about where this race for president, especially on the GOP side of the ticket, goes from here. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network. You're listening to The Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we will talk with a guest about the debate last night in Nevada, which featured the three leading candidates for the Democratic nomination for president. We'll talk about what they said and didn't say. in our next hour and look at the Democratic side of this race for president in our next hour. Right now, we're looking at the Republican side of the race with John Leo, who is a former syndicated columnist now with the Manhattan Institute. Our caller just before the weather break, John Leo, was saying, well, hey, the Democrats have fatally flawed candidates, too. While we asked you to talk about the Republicans, what about that? I mean, are the Democrats as flawed as the Republicans?
Well, I'm not sure they're as fatal as the Republican flaws, but Hillary is a real problem. I mean, as I talk to people left, right, and center, I'm picking up an enormous amount of hostility to Hillary, partly because of the enabling of Bill to go on with his philandering. I mean, a lot of women are really ticked off that a woman would go along with a husband who behaves like he does. And I just think you get a lot of the, if Hillary wins, I'm moving to Canada kind of statements.
Yeah, do you think Republicans want Hillary to win, so thinking that she would be a more easily defeated candidate?
Could be. I haven't heard that so much. It's possible, but it's more hostility to her than a kind of glee that a flawed candidate will get the nomination. With Barack, of course, the big flaw no one wants to talk about is professional politicians assume that his vote will be depressed by about 5% simply because he's black. I don't know if that's true, but it's a factor. People have to face it that Hillary is probably depressed by 5% just for being a Clinton too. So everybody does have a flaw of some kind, whether it's fatal. And the Democrats are in much better shape, I think.
Jacob in La Crosse is with us. Hold on a second. I've got a little bit of an issue here with my phone. So okay, here we go. Jacob in La Crosse, go ahead.
Morning.
Morning.
You were talking about the fact there isn't a real clear front runner in the GOP right now, and I think a lot of this has to do with, and your guest brought some of this to light earlier, I think Republicans tend to be real focused on what the issues and views of their candidates are, and every one of these candidates seems to have a different issue and view that doesn't sink home with a lot of the voters. You know, I know we had said that there's something good about all of them. If you could kind of take all those and make a candidate out of it, you'd probably have a real good candidate. That's the biggest problem I think I'm seeing as far as why we're not seeing a real direct front runner in this. I mean, on the Democrat side, I think a lot of the Democrats, the reason that they're so energized is they don't really care so much about the issues or views. They're more concerned about getting a Democrat into office.
John Leo?
Well, I think that's true. I think this may shift the conversation a little bit, but I think one of the problems is not just the Republican candidates, but the Republican Party and its lack of ideas. In the 80s, the party was bubbling with ideas. You know, it was the broken window theory. Remember that you have to crack down on victimless crime so they don't set the stage for a whole neighborhood going under. That, too, was put into effect in New York. You had school choice, welfare reform, term limits, which may not have been a right idea, but the party was bubbling with ideas. And now there aren't any ideas. There are no ideas left in the Republican establishment or even the Republican reformers. They're in neutral, and they're not what they were. In the 80s, the Republicans could say the Democrats were recycling New Deal ideas, and maybe they still are. But the Republicans have really no idea. And the polls are beginning to turn up a new creature, the big government conservative, that they have conservative ideas, but they want government to solve them. That's a brand new thing in the Republican Party. And again, I think it helps disable the candidates because there are so many different tendencies and so few ideas.
Yeah. Let me ask you to react to this news analysis piece. I think this was in the New York Times this morning. It says here, even in victory, Mr. Romney stood as evidence of the trouble the party finds itself in. He won, but only after a major effort in a state that he was once expected to win in a walk. That was before he lost Iowa, New Hampshire, two other states where he campaigned all out. More than any candidate in the Republican field, Mr. Romney has made a conscious effort to reassemble the coalition of economic and social conservatives that came together with Ronald Reagan and that President Bush kept remarkably unified in his two campaigns. But it goes on to say that his uneven performance has highlighted the strains in that coalition. And a central question about his candidacy is whether he is going to be able to rally its fractured components to his side.
Well, I think one of the problems with, obviously, the Mormon angle is a difficult one because a lot of Christians, not just evangelicals, think of it as a strange cult, not a variation of Christianity. The other thing is that Mormon, Romney is an excellent executive. I mean, he really has more experience and more talent in that than any other candidates. But he doesn't connect with the voters. I mean, all the reporters have picked that up, that he seems like he's speaking from the moon, whereas someone like Huckabee makes an immediate contact with people in the crowd. So I think that these things are coming into play.
Yeah. I got an email from Dave in Menominee, Michigan, who, and I can't find it now, but he voted for, did he vote for Romney because he wanted to stop McCain, that the Daily Kos blog was encouraging Democrats in Michigan to vote for Romney. What do you make of that?
Well, we'll never know. It's untrackable, and the polls are not going to show us that. It may be. I just have no idea what actually happened.
Yeah. So Democrats must think that Romney is easier to defeat than McCain would be.
Presumably so, mm-hmm. But who knows?
Yeah. Angie and Slinger, hi. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. I would just like to make a comment that even though I consider myself a liberal and I usually do vote Democrat, there is something about Governor Huckabee that has caught my attention. I think of all the candidates in either party that are running right now, he's somebody that not only has that connection with the American people, but he seems to have character and moral courage. And I think that's something I can really respect, and that's something that has caught my attention, even though I don't agree with him on the specific aspects of his politics in terms of him being a social conservative. There's that moral courage, and I think he would be an excellent leader and a person to bring us out of just the last horrible 8 years, and the country is just so hurting and so divided.
Mm-hmm. John Leo?
Well, I agree with that, and I think the problem for him is to finesse the creationism and the overweening emphasis on religion. The country is very nervous about religion these days, particularly Democratic voters. They don't want they think that it's being rammed down their throats, and that the theocrats, the term they invented, are going to take over the Republican Party. But he would have to finesse both those points in such a way as to say some sort of extension of the Jack Kennedy speech in Houston, saying that that religion is not going to form the basis of my presidency.
And thank you very much, Angie. Arlo in Loyal. Hi, Arlo. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I disagree with the guest on the Republicans having no good ideas. We've got one that has a true conservative agenda, and the elites that control this government behind the scenes are scared to death of him. And this is the man that would like to do away with the Federal Reserve, which is not a government organization. It's a private corporation. And whenever they have their budget, the government's budget, about halfway.
Yeah. Yeah. Are the elites in the Republican Party afraid of Ron Paul? We're running close to the top of the hour, so I need to...
I don't think they take him seriously. I think that he's articulate and forceful, but he's never going to get more than 6 or 7% of the vote in any primary, I don't think.
Yeah. It sure raises a lot of money on the Internet, though.
It is amazing, yes. Mm-hmm. The Howard Dean effect, yes. You can You can keep a dead candidacy alive by the internet.
Now, we only have a minute to go. I have heard people saying, hey, you know what, the Republicans aren't going to decide this by their convention, and maybe someone like Newt Gingrich will step in at the last minute. What about that?
Well, I saw him on the tube the other day, and he certainly hopes that's the case. But again, he's the Republican with the most ideas, but also enormous flaws, you know, beating up Clinton for being an adulterer while he was doing the same thing at the same time. I mean, that's very hard to overcome.
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to wait it out and talk to you again, John Leo. Thanks very much for being
with us. Thank you, Joy.
John Leo, Senior Fellow for the Manhattan Institute, editor of MindingTheCampus.com, former syndicated columnist, talking with us about the race for president on the Republican side, focusing in on the results of the Michigan primary yesterday, where Romney won 39% of the vote, followed by John McCain with 30, Mike Huckabee 16%, Ron Paul 6%, Fred Thompson 4, Rudy Giuliani 3, Duncan Hunter 0. Thanks to Leo Duran and to Karen Prager for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.